today and then next week as well, we're going to be starting this series of lessons, or maybe a mini series. I've been thinking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. We're just going to call it this: believe. Just believe. Believe is a Bible word that's all throughout the scripture. It's very important for us to understand what the Bible is asking us to do, what we have the capacity to do. And so today, let's just set the table for where we're going to go and pick up again next week as we talk about this. For everybody in the room who's already a Christian, you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Your life will be around this one verse of scripture as we begin and just set the foundation of where we're going to go for the next several weeks, or at least one more week. Is from Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says this: if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, come on, say believe in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No ifs, ands, or buts. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how bad you think you are right now, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart, notice believing is of the heart, not of the mind. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes. Would you say that phrase with me? For with the heart one believes. Under righteousness or right standing with God, and with the mouth, with your mouth then, confession is made to salvation. So this scripture tells us something that is extraordinarily, extremely important, that you and I cannot be saved unless you believe. So right from the foundation of our life, from the foundation of our spiritual journey with God, it tells us the only way you can be right with God is that you have to believe Jesus is Lord. You have to believe that he is the Son of God, he is the Savior of the world, and that his life, death, burial, and resurrection matters today, that by his blood that we've been singing about this morning, our sins are covered, we've been redeemed, we've been restored, we've been reconciled to be in right standing with the Father. Apart from any work you could have done, solely by the goodness of Jesus Christ, which is called grace. Grace. Grace isn't what you do. Grace is what God gives to you freely. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't work for it. It's given to you based on what God did through Jesus Christ. Now, our job is to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And the scripture says in Romans 5:17, this is how we reign in life. This is how we win over darkness. This is how we allow the word of God to penetrate our heart. And this is how our families are changed, regardless of the darkness and despair in culture, when we allow the gift of, come on, grace and the gift of righteousness to have rulership in our life, salvation to have deep roots in our life. But it's all based on if you believe it or not. So let's look at a definition of the word believe. Look on the screen. Got lots of stuff for you to look on the screen this morning. Believe, it means to consider to be true or honest. I'm considering this to be true or honest. I read this in the Bible. I consider this to be true or honest. It's conviction. It's assurance. It's assurance. And it's trust, the definition says, concerning a higher law. It's a trust concerning a higher law, a law beyond what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, what I'm tasting, what I'm touching, a law beyond my senses. It's a law that's a higher law. And the Bible actually says it in Romans chapter 3. It calls this law the law of faith. There's a law called the law of faith that you and I on this planet, on this earth, can tap into something that is beyond what we've seen, what we've experienced, what maybe anybody else has had. The law of faith will heal a sick body. The law of faith will redeem a dysfunctional marriage. The law of faith, when someone believes God, all of a sudden God will start working and drive out depression and anxiety and stress and worry from a mind. Come on, everybody. The law of faith. It's out there. It's there. It's working. The law of gravity, the law of lift for airplanes was always working. It wasn't until a certain time at Kitty Hawk in North Carolina that a couple brothers figured it out. It was always there. Elon Musk is doing some crazy stuff right now. making spaceships go up and come right back down. It was always there, but some guys just figured out how to do it right now. The law of faith is always there, always active, always available to us. Where we could see God provide for us. We could see God give us a thought, give us wisdom when we don't have wisdom, cause us to have understanding or revelation, cause relationships that are not working and dysfunctional to begin working. It will happen to us if we believe the word of God. Now the caveat is you can't change anybody else. Come on, everybody. Their will is their will, but we can still pray and believe God, and we can put some prayer in that situation for God to work in them. Amen, everybody? So we're considering this to be true. I'm considering the word of God to be true. It's a conviction that I have. It's a conviction you must have if you're going to be what the Bible calls you and I, a believer. One of my mentors named Kenneth Hagin, he said this: a man or a woman gets what they believe in life, nothing more and nothing less. You get for what you believe in life, nothing more, nothing less. So the question I've got for you this morning is, so what do you believe in? What do you believe in? Or what are you believing in? Or who are you believing? Who are you believing? Are you believing man or you believe in God? Are you believing culture or you believe in the word? Are you believing what somebody says in politics, which is foolishness, or are you going to base on the conviction of what the scripture says? What you believe will determine where your life goes, what you receive, how your life then functions. And again, we're not just talking about you. We're talking about if you've got kids or you've got grandkids or you're influencing people. So what we believe is extremely, extremely important. And Bible believing, listen, so I'm going to say this way in the next couple of slides here for you, is that when I talk about believing, I want to talk about Bible believing, because Bible believing isn't just wishful thinking, isn't just hoping something changes or wanting something to change. You can want something to change, and you're still not believing according to what the Bible says. I want it to change. I hope it changes. But I'm not exercising any faith. I'm not really believing it because I'm not doing anything about it. I just want it to happen. I want to get in shape, but I keep chipping and dipping. I told you the other day, on my phone, I got all kind of IG things from these dudes that lift all kinds of weights. Come on, anybody like me? I save it. You know what? I save it and I forget it. Come on, everybody. I got some good intentions, but I'm not doing anything with it. So God wants us to believe to the point of action. We'll talk about that. Bible believing. Come on, we say Bible believing. Bible believing requires us to move past our physical senses. Bible believing has nothing to do with what you see, taste, hear, feel, or touch, or whatever the other one is. Smell. So if you won't believe something before you see or feel something, you'll never receive something. One more time. If you won't believe something before you see or feel something, you'll never receive something. I'm required to believe with no evidence. I'm required to believe there's a God, although I've never seen him. What I want to do is, again, we're just kind of setting the foundation where we're going to go again next week. So I hope you come back. We won't have any hamburgers next week, but I hope you come back. We'll have some coffee. All Bible believing has really got to have the foundation of a couple of these scriptures. So let's kind of go back in your thinking and my thinking. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. There's a divine creator. There's a divine overseer over creation and everything that lives. His name is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Perfect unity. Perfect accord, perfect minds doing the same thing. This is what happened in the beginning, and this is still happening today. God is still creating. They're seeing that with telescopes. There's universes they're discovering that are being created. God's still creating things today. Come on, everybody. Isn't that good news? And let's read a couple scriptures in John that really correlate with this. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice, he. Come on, we say he.
He.
Well, I thought we were talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now he's talking about he. He was in the beginning with God. So the Word was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. Who's he talking about? John's talking about the person called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 3, all things were made through him, through Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him, verse 4, in him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. You want to see your life? You want to be able to see what God wants you to do? The only way to do that is to have the life of God in your life where you can see what God wants to do with your life. He'll give you light. He'll give you revelation. He'll give you direction. He'll speak to you from the Word of God, speaking to your spirit where you'll have light. It'll be like a flashlight. Go this way. Don't do that. Don't hang out with those people. Don't take those courses at college. This is the direction you need to go. Give that, pray that, believe that, hang out with these people. God will continually give direction according to your life with his light. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus is the glory of God. John says, we beheld it. We saw it. We were there. I was John, the beloved disciple, was with him for 3.5 years. We saw the signs. We saw the miracles. We saw the blind see. We saw the lepers healed. We saw demons being cast out of people. We saw and heard the teaching. We saw the transformation that happened. We saw people, Mary, breaking the alabaster box of ointment, anointing his feet. We were there. We saw him on the cross. I was there when Jesus, John talking, gave me the word, and he told me, this is now your mom. Care for her after I'm gone. John says, I was there. I'm an eyewitness. We beheld his glory. I was there then 3 days later when we went to the tomb and he was gone. John's saying, I was there after we were in that upper room and got filled with the Holy Spirit. I was there when Jesus then, after the resurrection, came and spent 40 days with us on the earth and was telling us about things of the kingdom of God. And then he ascended to the Father forever. I was there. So now you and I are stuck with this. You weren't there. But do you believe that? Do you believe that? I was talking to somebody recently, and they were saying that, you know, I'm more kind of scientific, and I need to have evidence. And I was telling them, there is going to come a time in your life when there will be no evidence other than you got a choice to either believe it or not believe it. So Bible believing is a certainty based on the authority of God and his word. This is what Bible believing is. It's a certainty based on the authority of God, based on the authority of his word, based on the authority of his character. Bible believing, look, is it based on the life, death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we said, Jesus came, he became flesh, he became a human being, he was sinless, he took my place, he paid for my sin. This is what Bible believing is. The foundation of it isn't just some ethereal little cloud in the sky, wishful thinking, hoping. No, my Bible believing is based on the authority of someone called God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God that now God has entrusted and given to us. We can count on him. Amen. Believing means that you trust, have confidence in, and are now persuaded. Are you there? I believe God. I have my trust in God. I have my confidence in God, and now I've become persuaded. It's based on who he is, based on what he's done, based on who he is right now at the right hand of the Father, based on the authority of the word that he has given to us. Now listen, why is believing so important? Why would it be such an important thing? How come God just couldn't, you know, come in and for all of us just like just show up and give us a sign and just, you know, cause our minds to think that way? Well, he wants us as living creatures made in his image and his likeness, that he has given us free will to make a choice who we're going to serve, what we're going to believe. Come on, everybody. And listen, this is huge. This is why this is so important, is that we've got a story in Mark chapter 9 about a dad who's got a demonized son. Remember this story? And that he comes to the disciples and they couldn't cast this demon out of this boy. And he's foaming at the mouth and it's just an awful situation. And they come and get Jesus. And Jesus starts talking with this guy in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Look what Jesus says. Jesus tells this dad and says, listen, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Come on, say the rest of that. Help my unbelief. Jesus flips the script because the man comes to Jesus and says, if you can do anything, help us, help me. If you can do anything, and Jesus says, ho, 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 ho. I can do anything if you can believe. Now this is a blow up in your face scripture, because this tells me and you that should shake the foundation of our lives, that if I will believe what God says, no thing is impossible. I don't care how long it's been going, what it looks like, how many times it's gone sideways in my life. If I will exercise faith and if I will believe, the minute I believe, something is reversing that was working sideways according to the will of God. Come on, everybody. When I believe it. Look, anything is possible for someone who can believe God. I don't think that we grasp this. And so I just want to let it sit. Listen to me. You should read the word of God every now and again, and it make you uncomfortable. When I read this, can I tell you as a pastor, sometimes I get a little bit uncomfortable. All things are possible? Like all things? For me? Like concerning my life? Concerning my health, concerning those lies that come to my mind, concerning anxiety or peace or some stuff that I need, all things are possible to me if I'll believe. Then after that, I'll tell you how I go. Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Because if I'm not seeing it, I've come to realize. Listen to me. I've trust. I've got confidence. I'm persuaded there is no problem with him. If there's ever a disconnect, it's on this end. So there's no wagging my finger at God. If there's anything going on, it's like, Lord, I must just not be seeing it. I'm just not there. I'm not making the connection I need to make. Would you help me see it? And if there is unbelief, would you get the unbelief out of my life? Come on. Yeah. So let's talk about that. What causes unbelief? Ever think about that? What causes unbelief? Let's give you a couple thoughts. Number one, ignorance. Ignorance causes unbelief. You just haven't heard about the word. I mean, maybe you were raised and you in a certain church or denomination, maybe you were raised and you have no God background at all. And so you hear about stuff, you're ignorant, and it's like, I've never heard that before. What are you talking about? Believing? What are you talking about? God working in a certain situation? It's just, this is just the way it is. You can make the best of it, but you haven't heard about the word of God. A person that would, you know, be in this situation where, how could I believe that God could work a miracle? God can't work a miracle. Doctors can't, are the only ones that might be able to work a miracle. Just ignorant. Haven't heard about the power of the word of God. Secondly, maybe, what causes unbelief? Pride or arrogance. Pride or arrogance. You're just proud. Well, you just say, I don't need God. I don't need God. I'm just someone that's proud, someone that's boastful, someone that just says, no, I don't need God. I got this. I'm my own man. I'm my own person. And I don't need God. And I can make my own way. Just full of pride. And what God does with that man or that woman is that he will humble you. He will humble you. Ask Pharaoh. He will humble you. What causes unbelief? Thirdly, past experience or hurt. In your past, you've got hurt. In your past, the experience that you have, it was like God didn't show up. I tried it and it didn't work. And there's all of us have been here at some point in our life, no matter where you're at right now. It's like I believed that and it didn't happen like I thought. And so now we're gun shy to believe all things are really possible. In our mind, we read it and we really kind of siphon that to where most things are possible or some things are possible, but definitely not all things. When God's trying to get us past that because of our hurt or because of our own experience of not seeing all the goodness of God. And then just lastly, what we can find out from what causes unbelief, just failure to be persuaded or refusal to be persuaded. Just sounds too good to be true. It's like a fairy tale. It's make believe. I just refuse to believe that. Listen, can I tell you something? The refusal to be persuaded is of demonic origin. And it will hinder somebody and it will hamper somebody and they'll never be able to fully receive and have what God wants them to have because they will not be persuaded. Maybe it's based on what they've done in their past. Maybe it's based on God could never love me because of this or just refusal. Read the Bible. That's an antiquated book. That's an out-of-date book that doesn't work in 2024 in Southern California. Here's what I'm telling you this morning. Listen to me. All unbelief is curable. It's all curable. If someone will read the Word of God and choose to believe what the Scripture says, you can have what the Word of God says. So let's do this, and we'll just go for a few more minutes. What causes unbelief? We just talked about that. Then how do you believe? How do you believe? How do you come to a place where you actually believe what God says in His Word? Well, the Scripture says something in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that says this: faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way you're going to get a chance to exercise faith is to hear what the Word of God says. And you're hearing the Word of God to such an extent that you say, you know what? I'm persuaded. I've got a conviction of that right now. I'm going to choose to believe that right now. That will be the instant that faith is deposited in your heart, or that it's already there. If you're a believer, it's there. But you say, I'm going to act on that. I'm going to germinate that. I'm going to water that seed so it grows in my life. Faith keeps coming. It keeps coming. I'm going to keep coming back to the Word of God. I don't get it right now. I don't see it right now. I've got some doubts and some uncertainties in my life where I'm not quite seeing it, but I'm going to come to the Word of God, and I've set up my mind to keep coming to church, and I'm going to keep hearing the Word. I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to hear it. Because you do know that's the way media works. The more you hear, the more you're persuaded. And the more you're persuaded, the more you're convicted. And the more you're convicted, the next thing we know, 2 years ago you weren't, and now you got a megahorn out there on a street corner telling everybody about your new conviction because you kept hearing it. Well, if it will work that way, how about let's let it work with the Scriptures, everybody? Come on. Let's get God working in us. Come on, everybody. Let's get the Word of God working in us. Let's hear what God has to say. So the initial step is that I make Jesus the Lord of my life. Faith comes. I got to keep hearing and hearing and hearing. I got to hear with the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says this. This book of the law, the Word of God, we'd say, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate in it day and night, observing to do according to all that's written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So this is what we do now as a believer. What do? We take time on a daily basis. This has become my responsibility. This is your responsibility. I am a believer. I am a believer. Lord, help my unbelief. I want to get to the place that I believe all things are possible. I might not be there right now, but I'm going to keep coming back to your word, and I'm going to keep reading about who you are, your character, your nature, the power of your word, and it's going to come into my heart, and I'm going to meditate on it day and night. I'm going to look what the word meditating means on the screen here. Meditating means think about. Meditating means to ponder. Meditating means to consider. Meditating means to talk to yourself about it. What does this mean to me? I read in the scriptures, whatever it is. And you know, what does this mean? I'm going to put me in the middle of it. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to mutter it over. I'm just not going to speed read and try to read a chapter a day and just get that done in that 2.5 minutes and just move on with my day. I want to think about it. God, talk to me about this. I want to meditate. I want to dwell down. I want to get it in me because I want to have good success in my marriage. Come on, as a dad, as a mom, as a brother, as a sister, as an employee, as a business leader, I want to have good success in my Christian walk. I'm going to have to meditate the word of God. Come on, everybody. Listen to me. Bible believing will bring you to action. Believing will bring you to some kind of action. Whatever you believe, you'll wind up doing. I'm old enough now, 64. I've been around the block a couple of years. I was a pastor in Canada, Kimber and I, in right before, at the end of 1999, before 2000 came. Come on, somebody, Y2K. Anybody Y2Kers? No shame on anybody. So I don't know your life, and you really don't know my life. So let me just tell you about some people that I knew, close people. And everything was happening, Y2K, the earth is coming to an end. Y2K, computers are going to go crazy. Get all your money out of the bank, put it in some gold, and by all means, get all the food you can. Store the food. I have friends, and they got barrels full of water, 100 gallons of water. In the garage. I've got friends, and they had boxes of stored food that would make it through the Armageddon. Come on, everybody. And they're in the garage. And that was Y2K. And guess what? It didn't happen. But they believed it, and what they believed moved them to action. What you believe, really believe, is moving you to action. So, what are you doing? So, how are you thinking? If we're going to believe what God says, we're going to have to give adequate time to spend in His Word so our believing can line up with what He said He'll do for our lives. A couple more thoughts. Believing requires you to think new thoughts so you can have new outcomes. New thoughts. I want a new outcome. You got to get a new thought. You got old thought. You got a crazy thought. You got a God can't show up thought. You got a you always going to be stuck thought. You can't move up thought. You can't get a new job thought. You're the wrong color, the wrong sex, the wrong age. You got the wrong personality. The devil will lie to you. I'm going to believe something different. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works for me. That my soul knows very well. Come on, somebody. Where does that come from? The Bible. How'd you get it? I meditated. All of us the same way. We can believe what God says, and we can start having a different outcome from our life. You don't always have to be angry and nasty. Don't look at your neighbor. Come on, everybody. Don't look at your husband. You can change. Come on, everybody. You can change. Bill Johnson said this, Pastor Bethel up north in wherever, Redding, California. He said this, I can't afford to have a thought in my mind that Jesus doesn't have in his mind. I can't afford to have a thought in my mind Jesus doesn't have in his mind. So what do we have to do? Here's our job every day. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed. Come on, band, help me out here, will you guys? Don't be conformed to the world. Come on, read this out loud, will you? Come on, one, two, three, read. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Notice, anybody want the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? I do. How about you, huh? Huh? So what do I got to do? Don't be conformed to what CNN says, Fox News says, MSNBC says. Don't be conformed to what that TikTok dude says. Don't be conformed to what that YouTube influencer says. Be conformed to what Jesus says. Come on, be conformed to what the Apostle Paul says. Be conformed to what Brother Jude says. Come on, be conformed to what John says and what Mark says and what Luke says, what they record. Be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. Transformed. You know what that word means, of course. Maybe some of you don't know. It's the word metamorphosis. It's the word metamorphosis. It's used 3 times in the Bible. That Jesus was changed on the Mount Transfiguration. And went there and saw his visage was changed. It's the same word here. That we're transformed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That our mind can actually undergo a transformation that you wind up becoming not the same person you currently are. You know what metamorphosis is? It's a caterpillar that goes in and makes that chrysalis and spits out all that stuff and gets all in that cocoon. It takes a little while, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, and all of a sudden he breaks out. He goes in, crawl on the ground, the brother or sister, and all of a sudden they bust out. Come on, everybody. They bust out. God's just looking for some people to bust out. Come on, get some mind renewal. Come on, where I'm not going to be conformed. I'm going to be transformed. My mind is going to be transformed because I believe God's word. And I came in this situation like we all did. We're sinners and we need Jesus and we receive his grace. And now I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to meditate the word day and night. I'm going to observe to do according to all that's written. And I want my way to be prosperous. I want to have good success. It's moving me to action. So I'm going to spin myself a little cocoon. I'm crawling. I might be just like a little worm. Come on, you've seen those little inchworms. Find a tree. Come on, they always go high. You got to get up above the world. You got to get up above the confusion. Go hang on a tree somewhere. Make yourself a little cocoon. About 3 weeks later, that little caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly. Transform. Metamorphosis. That's what goes on in our minds. How you doing with that? You got a new thought lately? Or you think this is the way it's always going to be? My life, my marriage, I could never serve. I could never lead a kid's class. I could never help youth. I couldn't. I've got a gift to sing or to play. I could never do that up here. How about you get a new thought? How about you start meditating the Word of God? How about you like what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice that. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Let your mind be renewed. Why would that be important? For you to fulfill the will of God, you got to have your mind changed. A couple different translations says this in closing. Let God's spirit change your way of thinking. Let God's spirit change your way of thinking. Let God's spirit make you think in a new way. Come on, anybody want to pray that with me? Lord, help me think in a new way. Come on, close your eyes, bow your head. Lord, help us think in a new way. Lord, we don't want to be faithless. We want to be believers. Lord, if you can do anything, help our unbelief, Lord God. I believe. If we can believe, all things are possible to us who believe. Father, I just pray for in this room this morning, just a spirit of belief. I believe God, it shall be even as it was spoken to me. We believe the word of God. We believe into the person called Jesus Christ. We believe in your character, Father, in your will, in your love, in your forgiveness, in your redemption, in your salvation. We we believe in the authority you've given us, that we don't have to be under darkness and fear and worry and concern and under continued barrage of sickness, and we can experience an abundant life, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, unbelief is curable. Help our unbelief. Holy Spirit, change our way of thinking. Help us renew our minds daily. Help us, Lord God. We're persuaded. We don't want to have a thought in our mind that you don't have in your mind, Jesus. Bring us to action. Give us an attack plan, Father, we pray, when we leave here today. Come on, all over the room. All over the room. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Think in line with the Word of God, the will of God. Our believing is based on the person Jesus, what you've done for us in your life, death, burial, your resurrection. Let faith come this morning. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let faith rise in every heart to believe what seems to be impossible, to trust your Lord, be persuaded, have conviction that God's working all things together for good to those who love God, called according to His purpose. Come on, all over the room with your head bowed, your eyes closed. We want to pray a prayer. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're here today. This might be your first time with us, and you've been here many, many times. But you say, I've never done that. I've never done what we talked about this morning. I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I've never confessed.